Smith Mountain Lake provides the inspiration for a film project that young producer and actor Sarah Elizabeth Timmons hopes to start shooting this fall on location. Timmons is currently trying to raise $500,000 for Lake Effects, a drama with comedic overtones. Sarah Timmons' parents live at Smith Mountain Lake, and on visits from her home in Los Angeles, she became inspired.
The revelation came after 6 years being in Los Angeles, and I guess not really realizing exactly how unhappy I was. I was doing what I loved to do, producing and acting, but I had a lot that was weighing, I think, on my shoulders, and didn't know that until I took that walk, and I suddenly had a calm and a clarity come over me. And suddenly I knew what I was supposed to be doing, where I was supposed to be going, a real sense of purpose. And I made a lot of vows to myself. And in that moment, that was the moment that Lake Effects ultimately was born.
This is a project, Sarah, that you are going to get some of the people around there involved with the project.
My company, Life Out Loud Films, makes film that is a catalyst for positive change. We want people to leave the theaters wanting to better their life. What has happened with Lake Effects and the ultimate mission of my company is to make film different than most companies. It's not just about the inspirational product, but the way we make it, the process that we use. And so my goal is to make a positive impact in the community in which we shoot. So we're going to give a portion of proceeds to lake cleanup efforts. We are going to do a big cast and crew volunteer day. But outside of that, everybody that I've talked to here talks about What About Bob. Mm-hmm. That was 18 years ago.
Film made largely at Smith Mountain Lake and actually a little bit here and even in Roanoke.
Exactly. The problem is that nobody knows that unless you live here or unless you stick around till the end of the credits and see the acknowledgement.
Right, because they really don't call it Smith Mountain Lake. I don't believe.
No, it's Lake Winnipesaukee.
Which is in New Hampshire, right.
Exactly. But our goal is to keep it Smith Mountain Lake and keep the Roanoke Valley, so that people will see. In shooting, we're going to showcase the beauty of the lake, the nature, the recreation, and the family. And that's one of the reasons we're shooting in the fall, is to capture that color. But we want people to associate that with a real place that they can come and visit and experience the amazing community that this area has to offer in the arts. It's just, I was blown away, and I think it's something that we need to share with the rest of the country and in turn hopefully promote economic development and tourism in this area. Let's see a residual impact that this film can ultimately make and assist Roanoke's efforts now. So many organizations in Roanoke right now are trying to promote the area and bring businesses here and some acknowledgement. And I thought that we're here to support their effort. Everything that we're doing, we're trying to keep local. Our investors, we have only gone to Virginia at this moment. We're going to showcase Virginia products in businesses as much as possible. We don't want to change the name of a business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in the community have really come together to make this happen. It's technically a $1.8 million film. And what happened is I started getting calls from businesses and individuals donating boats and planes and catering, lodging. And suddenly we took a $1.8 million film down to $500,000.
Yeah, I saw some of your lists online. You were looking for people to donate boats, and including a rowboat that you can trash and another one that you can keep. And so people have really responded with in-kind gifts in this area?
Yes. Absolutely. The project is no longer mine. You could say maybe it started as an epiphany that I had, but it's the communities. Smith Mountain Lake now owns this film, and it's up to me. I have a pretty heavy responsibility to make sure that we follow through and do it with the utmost quality. I couldn't do it without the people in this area.
Sarah Elizabeth Timmons is the executive producer for Lake Effects, a small-budget film project she hopes to get off the ground this fall. Timmons, who appeared as an actress in Princess Diaries 2, also likes being on the other side of the camera.
I enjoy both. I used to call it a curse. Mm-hmm. I was an actress that also had the business sense, but you just use it to your advantage anymore. I love acting, but I love the process. I was very unfulfilled in Los Angeles doing commercial work because there was nothing to sink my teeth into. So I definitely enjoy that as an actress and and what that entails, but I'm good at producing. Finally, I put the two together and have made a lot of projects happen.
In a nutshell, Sarah, talk about what Lake Effects is about. And I guess one thing I read is that you're looking for sort of a big chill feel, kind of an ensemble piece perhaps. What is it? In a nutshell, what's it about?
A lot of people will compare it to On Golden Pond. It's a family that grew up at the lake. The oldest daughter moves to Los Angeles to become a lawyer. The youngest one stays and is an artist, teaching art at a local elementary school. And when the father passes away unexpectedly, the sisters come together, the oldest sister returns, and they go through a process of understanding why it was so important to Davide Reyes at the lake. And the mother goes through a similar journey. And there's also some comedy as a bunch of guys in the community think that there's a lake monster. So they spend some nights on a lake night stakeouts. But it's about searching. Everybody's searching for that thing that completes them, their passion, but they're all searching in the wrong, in the wrong place. It's a story of coming home.
Which can be painful sometimes when you get families together when they're far flung. So could be some interesting dynamics there.
There's a little bit of sibling rivalry that goes on.
And also, you've got a pretty, I was reading some of the notes, you've got a pretty impressive roster of people, Sarah, lined up as far as producers and writers, people with a lot of screen credits. Talk about that a little bit.
I feel very lucky to, over the years, to really develop a great network of professionals that are good at what they do, have a great resume to support it, and have the belief in me to join the Lake Effects team. And I really feel that's what the last 10 years of producing have been about, is to put together the team for this project. Our writer, they've all worked with name actors and projects that have done extremely well, so we're excited to bring them to this area.
Are you hoping that maybe this leads to more films being produced in the area, if this film was successful and it shows off the photogenic qualities of the area, that type of thing?
Absolutely. I've spoken with a number of individuals about that, and already have some ideas that I have come up with and that have been pitched, but I really love this area. Have fallen in love with it since essentially moving here when I purchased my one-way ticket months ago. I would love to see us make more films specifically in this area.
One of the things you also address on your website is that the independent film market is bigger than people think. That, you know, small features made on small budgets can be moneymakers and can be films that people go to see, i.e. Sling Blade, The Station Agent, things like that. So I guess part of that is also probably done to convince investors to come on board, that these can be profitable ventures, independent films.
Absolutely. And if you look at our materials online, you'll also notice that some of those films you've probably never heard of, and there are no name talent attached. And the reason that we did that is to demonstrate that there are films you haven't heard of, haven't seen, didn't have name talent attached, and yet they still profited. And that was very important. And not just painting a pretty picture for our investors. It's really about reality and something that is pertinent and that they can directly relate to what we're trying to do.
Sarah Elizabeth Timmons hopes to shoot Lake Effects at Smith Mountain Lake this fall, showcasing the body of water and the community that surrounds it.
The lake is our main character in the film, and that is, there's a link between the lake, the spirit of the father, and family are all linked together. There's a magic about Smith Mountain Lake, and I've visited a number of lakes, and I didn't find that magic at the other ones. I do believe it's a sense of community that is reflected. A lot of people are here by choice. They found it. They have the same journey that our main character has. And throughout the film, one of the things that you see is the weather surrounding the lake, the things that happen, the washing up of a couple things, you know, to the main characters, and storms and fog will...
All the things that people deal with on a regular basis down to the lake.
Yeah, but they definitely lead the characters to their journey. So the lake is a character, and as the fog pulls in, you kind of have a foreshadowing of what's going to happen next in the film. And the lake gives people things that lend to their discovery and to their journey. So it's a personality for sure.
Time grows short for Lake Effects, however. If Timmons can't finish raising the $500,000 needed in the next week or so, the shoot might be pushed back to 2010.
We have investors on board, and there is money in the bank. Do I have the full amount at this point? No. I definitely need some more people to come on board to make that a reality if we're going to shoot in October of 2009.
And if you don't hit that amount, we'll roll over to the spring, or what are you looking at?
We'll definitely go in 2010.
Is this the biggest project you've ever worked on, your ball of wax at this point?
The Linda Carter film that I worked on was big. The thing that makes this different is it started with an idea, and now it's coming to fruition. So the going through it from the fundraising stage is definitely a whole nother dynamic that I necessarily have not been a part of on past projects. So this is my baby. I think that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm meant to do. So by far, this is the most important project of my life, and I think that it's going to set a precedent for more projects to come down the line.
Other things on the drawing board if this gets off the ground in time and proceeds?
Yes, we go on and we make the next one.
Mm-hmm. And you're also planning to film a documentary of the shooting of this film?
Yes, the way that we are making the film is, like I said, unique, and it's about the community coming together. So documentaries have a whole nother leg in and of itself in the festivals, and it really tells the story of behind the story. So we're going to document how the community comes together to make this film happen. There's an artist in the film. We are going to document the local artist that's going to be creating the work that the daughter ultimately creates in the film. So we want to really show people how the community really made this possible, and then in turn how the film is affecting the community, not just while it's happening, but before and after, a year down the line.
How are you hoping to distribute this film or get it out to the public?
It's a theatrical script, so we will take it to the film festivals. We'll submit it to Sundance and the Cannes Film Festival and go that route. A lot of times you can create a lot of hype around a project that in turn you could sell it for a little bit more. We'll attach a distributor and try to get box office domestic distribution. There's also the DVD and made-for-TV movie avenues you can also go.
Sarah Elizabeth Timmons is the producer of the upcoming film Lake Effects, which will be filmed at Smith Mountain Lake. And Sarah, good luck, and thanks for joining us in Studio Virginia.
Thank you for having me.
See lifeoutloudfilms.com for more information on Lake Effects. We'll be right back. This is Studio Virginia. Welcome back to Studio Virginia. I'm Gene Moreno. Things are not what they seem, nor are they otherwise. That's the name artist Barbara Bernstein has given to her new exhibit at the Eleanor D. Wilson Museum on the Hollins University campus in Roanoke. It opens tonight, July 16th, and runs through August 22nd. Bernstein uses foam core, electrical tape, and construction paper for two- and three-dimensional pieces, some inspired by the Hollins campus. For the past few years, she's also been the artist in residence at the Virginia Center for the Creative Arts, a retreat in Amherst County. She joins us with Wilson Museum Director Amy Moorfield.
I was originally a fellow there. I was selected as an artist there to do my work for 6 weeks. Both my husband and I were in the summer of 2007. And at that time, we were invited to stay on as the resident artists. And after a few months, we were asked to stay on indefinitely.
You have an interesting background. You've taught at Yale, Carnegie Mellon, Rhode Island School of Design, so this is quite a bit of a different twist in your career.
Yes, it is. This is actually the first time I haven't taught, so being able to concentrate solely on my own work has really been a remarkable experience, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity of being able to do site-specific installation at the Wilson Museum, thanks to Amy.
Now, what did you study in school? I mean, this exhibit is a lot of two- and three-dimensional pieces. Did you study that in school, or is that something you evolved into, Barbara?
My bachelor's degree is in printmaking from Rhode Island School of Design, but drawing has always been my primary locus of attention. And the desire, after I have two master's degrees, and the desire in my master's training was to really start thinking about how to make a drawing that one could walk into. What would it be like to be surrounded by a drawing? And as a result of that, installation started to come into place.
And the exhibit at Hollins is Things Are Not What They Seem, Nor Are They Otherwise, 2009. Is that a famous quote or something? Or?
It's actually from a Buddhist text. And it's really about questioning what we perceive and how we perceive. So my aim in this exhibition is actually to make very complex philosophical, if you will, issues not only understandable and accessible, but also fun. I think sometimes art can be intimidating for some people, and I'd like to make this exhibition accessible, enjoyable, without succumbing to some lowest common denominator and not insult people's intelligence, but have an engaging experience.
Amy, talk about what appealed to you about this exhibit, and I guess some in some of the pieces there, it references sort of the Holland's architecture at Holland's University.
That's absolutely correct. I met Barbara last year at the Virginia Center for Creative Arts and foresaw the opportunity to really have her be the first to create a site-specific installation for the Eleanor D. Wilson Museum. Site-specific meaning it lasts for a period of time. The artist creates something unique for the site, involves 2 to 3 dimensions, and it focuses of your attention on the permanence or impermanence of the work. The exhibition, Things Are Not What They Seem, Nor Are They Otherwise, calls architectural references from Holland's historic campus. Barbara has taken inspiration from that. She visited for a few days upon many trips through this project and saw some inspiration in pulling that in toward her fantastical exhibition and installation. You might recognize some buildings, facades. Also, you might recognize some landscape elements. However, they're created out of straws and paper and black contact paper, electrical tape, and foam core.
Barbara Bernstein's exhibit is Things Are Not What They Seem, Nor Are They Otherwise. She says some have a hard time seeing electrical tape and foam core as true art.
I think it is, in some spheres, it is an accepted form. It's still challenging for some people. I think the most challenging is the impermanence of it, that I'm using disposable materials. And it really is an integrated experience of I really would like us to question not only what we believe to be true and real, but what we believe to be sustaining. Mm-hmm. And the sustaining experience of the exhibition is what people carry in their hearts when they leave. Because at August 23rd, the exhibition doesn't exist anymore. All the tape is removed from the walls, all of the other elements, the fantastical building structures are destroyed. And so the only opportunity of experiencing the work is to see the work. What sustains is when people talk about it or reference it in their own memories.
Amy, that's pretty interesting, though, that you know, this is a moment in time, mm-hmm. moment in time is art, and then boom, it's gone.
That's right. It's you know, there's a sense of nostalgia that will occur for the viewer as a lasting effect, knowing that they're witnessing something very special that has a finite time frame to it. And that's one of the kernels of site-specific installation art, is that there's a beginning and then there's an end, and enjoy it while it lasts.
Do you think, I'll throw this to either one of you, do you think 2- and 3-dimensional art today is more appealing maybe to younger people than a painting on a wall, Barbara? I mean, is it just something that you have to do more to catch people's attention sometimes today?
That's a wonderful question. I like the word attention. I think paying attention and having time to contemplate is something that none of us are doing, really. We're all bombarded with information and noise and sound. And specifically, this piece has 2 actual benches in the middle of the room to afford people time to sit and think and look and observe and remember and enjoy. This isn't flashy art. This isn't art that, at least I don't want it to be that way. I want people to enjoy it. But I also want people to be able to consider it and think about it. And the impermanence is also, obviously, that we think about our own impermanence. What will people remember when we're not here? How will we be remembered? And that's really the larger issue, I think, of any art, is a sense of humility.
And just before I let you go, Amy, this exhibit, the Things Are Not What They Seem, Nor Are They Otherwise, is this another example of what you're trying to do with the Eleanor D. Wilson Museum, kind of push things a little bit?
Absolutely. I am very much looking forward to presenting this exhibition of Barbara Bernstein's work to the community. And in many ways, we've asked her to perform a large job here, in that there's a large weight on our shoulders to present this realm of art, site-specific, but in a really wonderful way, in a really excellent way. And I am looking forward to watching the faces and the expressions when they encounter her work. So you will see more of work like this in the future.
Barbara Bernstein is the artist, and Amy Moorfield is the director of the Eleanor D. Wilson Museum on the Hollins University campus. And Barbara and Amy, thanks for joining us today on Studio Virginia.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
See hollins.edu for more information on the exhibit, which runs through August 22nd. Some might find it hard to believe, but Floyd Fest is 8 years old. The World Music Festival, just off the Blue Ridge Parkway at mile marker 170.5, runs from July 23rd through July 26th this year. Next week's lineup features groups and solo artists, both well-known and obscure. Co-founders Chris Hodges and Erica Johnson talk about Floyd Fest 8, Revival.
Well, Gene, every year after each festival, you know, I have to reassess exactly what went down. And one thing I notice every year are the amounts of emails and rapport that come from our patrons of just what an amazing time they had at the event. I thought, what better theme than Revival? It seems like every year people come and they feel refreshed, revived, and renewed in their lives, and it's just a wonderful thing to see and be a part of.
Yeah, I would add that there ends up being a lot of unplanned, unpremeditated, just serendipity to our themes every year. You know, last year with a family affair, and then again this year, just the times we're in, the general state of mind, everything, it just feels like we're at that point. You know, and so Revival as a theme for Floyd Fest speaks to just refresh, renew, recreate.
I think people let their hair down that normally don't have their hair let down, and people, like I said, run into each other, or people camp that normally wouldn't camp, and that type of thing.
Oh, absolutely. Every year now we have family reunions happening. We have school reunions happening. You know, college friends who bumped into each other at Floyd Fest years ago and who are now meeting there annually.
And we've really developed relationships and really tried to involve the community. And I think that's been a huge plus for us. You know, when people think about where to spend their dollars and where to get their entertainment, spending it locally is probably the wisest thing we can do in today's world. And, you know, it's better to spend a couple $100 than a couple thousand, you know, miles and miles away.
Yeah, I would add that there's something to this whole staycation idea, seemingly. And while we've definitely seen the entertainment industry and even the festival scene on some level impacted already by the economy, it may bode well for more regional events, and regional events with a niche existence might end up doing better. And I'd put out there that this year, Gene, we increased our budget for the entertainment lineup. You know, comparatively significantly, in a year where everybody's cutting back everywhere. We made cutbacks everywhere we could, but there.
Let's talk about some of the highlights. Blues Traveler, for one, and Chris, talk about some of the musical highlights this year.
I'm very excited about Blues Traveler. Great band. I'm also very excited about the Felice Brothers, a wonderful band from the New York area.
Sort of a little Dylan-esque sound with
very
the Felice Brothers.
Very Dylan-esque. Yeah. You know, got the ragtime hobo rock and roll feel. You know, have that northern upstate New York kind of flavor from the band and the Dylan. Real proud of them.
Floyd Fest 8 Revival is next week, July 23rd through the 26th. There's information at floydfest.com.
Every Sunday morning I wake up.
I'm real excited to see them. Grupo Fantasma, who is a phenomenal Latin outfit out of Austin, up for a Grammy.
To get people dancing.
Oh, tons of dancing. Got a lot of world music this year. Brazilian Foro in the Dark, that's David Burns' percussionist band. The list goes on and on, but you can see it all at atwproductions.com.
I wanted to mention the Under the Radar music series, just to touch on that a little bit. I guess these are what bands that are really undiscovered?
One of the gems, and what I get paid to do, is search out the music. You know, it's not a whole lot of fun in just, you know, booking a band and letting people come see them because they've heard of them before. I think people come to Floyd Fest primarily to get turned on to bands and music they have yet to hear, and a great way to turn them onto that is through the Under the Radar music series. It's basically set up for bands across the nation to play to a large audience on a professional level and gain the attention and get a leg up in their musical careers, and it's one of the highlights of why our audience comes. You know, check out these new acts. Mm-hmm. The acts are hungry, they're young, and they're ready to really put it on. We're still very proud and very, you know, into what we do. We love what we do. It is a lifestyle that we've created here, and we're very proud to be involved in
Floyd
that.
Fest is a lifestyle event. That's something we've coined recently. It has become our lifestyle. You know, there's a demographic element woven to the people who come, a certain lifestyle element, and we like to think that Floyd Fest is a lifestyle brand.
Chris Hodges and Erica Johnson are with Across the Way Productions, and Floyd Fest 8 Revival is back this July, and there's a couple other events they're involved with. And Chris and Erica, thanks for joining us on Studio Virginia.
Thanks, Gene. See y'all at Floyd Fest.
Great.
See floydfest.com for more information on Floyd Fest 8.